Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
You're listening to Believe You Me with Michael the Count Bisbing.
You know my name yet?
And Anthony Lionheart Smith.
Thanksgiving tomorrow. It's a big holiday for the English. We love a bit of Thanksgiving.
Do you? Okay.
I don't. No. Nobody gives a damn about Thanksgiving, but I do because I've lived in America for 12 years, and it's a wonderful celebration.
I agree.
Now, we use it as the warm up for Christmas.
Yeah.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't say I see a Christmas tree in the background, Anthony.
Oh yeah, I'm pretty excited about it too.
Go ahead.
So we went to go get a Christmas tree. The last probably 5 years, we've been doing real Christmas trees. Now we have like two or three others in the house that aren't, but the big main one has been real for the last 5 years. But then we were going through the Christmas tree place and I found this some bitch right here. And I was like, that'll fit in my office. So I put it in my office. I haven't decorated it yet, though.
I was going to say, because Rebecca Bisping would have a fit. She would have a fit because on our tree, when it's done, you can't move for the baubles. There's baubles everywhere. It's a gigantic tree. She's in the process of doing it right now. Yes, it's early. It is early. I'm normally one to shit on people that when they do it so early, but we're not going to be here for Christmas. We're going to England for 2 weeks to see my mom. Mama Bisping's getting old. You know what I mean? Not going to be. All right. Anyway, I don't want to say those words out loud. Jeez Louise, pull that back. So we're trying to spend some time out there. So we're starting Christmas early so we can get a bit of festivity and a bit of cheeriness. Speaking of cheeriness, can you smile, Anthony? My God, you look like a stone-faced killer right now.
I just woke up.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, my wife. So I had my radio show earlier, and then as soon as I got upstairs, then my wife and all the kids, and like 14 of their friends went to the new Trolls movie. So it was just me and the baby. Well, then I've been fighting with this baby to get her to take a nap, and then I finally got her to take a nap. I fell asleep for like 30 minutes, and then I woke up. So here I am.
There's some jokes in there about, you know, I don't know. Did you win the fight? Yeah. You know what I mean? Did you choke it out, put it to sleep, use your signature jiu-jitsu?
I should have. You know what? A rear naked choke would probably have done the trick.
No injuries.
And her arms aren't long enough to reach back and start peeling that top hand.
You know, you gotta extend that repertoire, bro. I'm sure there's some submissions there we can do. Welcome to the show, everybody. Thanksgiving special. Hope everyone's well. What is the meal going to consist of in your house for Thanksgiving? And by the time everybody sees this, to answer your question, we're not live. We're doing this on Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. By the time everyone's watching this, I'll have a full belly. I'll be led on the couch. We'll be watching a family movie. But what is the meal in your house tomorrow, Anthony, or tonight?
Well, we're switching it up a little bit. Usually, it's pretty traditional. I usually fry a turkey. So we get this big old turkey fryer filled with oil and deep fried turkey. Really dangerous. A lot of people burn their garages down every year doing it. But
I've seen the videos.
This year, we're just my family and then like some friends of ours, really close friends and their family, we decided we were going to find someone to cook us a Thanksgiving dinner. So we found this cooking old black lady, and she's catering us in some Thanksgiving. I'm pretty excited about it. So I don't know what's coming. I don't know what's coming.
Listen, I just want to point this out that Harrington won't be happy at your descriptive words there. You mentioned that she was black.
We all know black people cook better, especially old black women.
Lots of seasoning.
Lots of flavor.
After the fight in New York, Audi, my manager from Paradigm Sports Management, was telling a story, and the description that he used was this black guy, right? And Audi and Harrington's friend goes, just slyly, just to himself under his breath, no need to say that he was black. And I'm like, hold on a minute. There was no negative connotation. Do you know what I mean?
Harrington just said that?
No, Harrington's friend. He just went.
He has friends.
To mention he was black. Yeah, he had a friend.
Wow, that's weird.
That's the real story. That's the real story.
Yeah.
I thought he was from ESPN, didn't I, Harrington? I did. I thought, because when we were leaving, he was coming with us. I said, who's this dude from ESPN following us around? Go away. And he's like, no, he's not from ESPN. That's my friend. you're muted.
Good Harrington. Story.
It's Thanksgiving. Great start. Great start.
Yeah, happy holidays, boys. It wouldn't be the holidays without it. Mike actually ran up. He's like, just making sure that's your boy, right? Like, that's not just some random production dude. I was like, I know I'm Cody. Like, he's a good dude.
Yeah, Cody's very sensitive. He's like, there's no need to say that he was black. I'm like, it's just descriptive powers. He's telling the story. Negative connotation.
Well, Cody, I'm using it as a positive. It's an old black lady, and she's going to cook her ass off for us, and I can't wait.
Does the black lady have a name, Anthony? My word again.
I don't know it. I'm sure she does.
What is she going to cook?
I just know that she's cooking a turkey, or a turkey two different ways. I think she's smoking one and baking one. And then the rest, I don't know the sides. I know there's a bunch of them, but I don't know what they are. But I'm pretty excited about it. It's nice to eat Thanksgiving without having to cook it.
Well, we're cooking ours, but we're having Christmas dinner out. We've booked a place, so we're excited about that. That'll be the first time we've gone out and not had to deal with the mess and the cooking and the dishes like I do any of that stuff. But let's be honest. But we just went out and we bought a big old piece of meat, a big old piece of beef that we're going to roast. Never mind the turkey, right? The turkey's overrated right now. What was I going to say? Oh, the sides. I remember having this conversation with Lewis back in the day, right? What did he call it? With the yams and the marshmallows?
Sweet potatoes?
What do they call that?
Ambrosia.
Sweet potatoes with marshmallows.
Is that ambrosia?
Do you go in for that stuff? Because that just sounds disgusting. For anyone that's not living in America, it is a traditional dish that you guys, it's potatoes, sweet potatoes with marshmallows mixed in. And that
brown
just sounds,
sugar.
I'm not going to try it. I don't want to try it. That's gross.
It's good. It's really good. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That sounds
like
a dessert.
It kind of is, like it's teetering the line of dessert inside for sure. Are you a fan of deviled eggs?
Love a deviled egg. Love a devil's avocado. Okay. I'm a demon sent by the devil. I love an avocado. I mean, a deviled egg.
Oh yeah, I love me some deviled eggs. They better have some of those. If not, I'm not going.
All right. Well, that remains to be seen. We can't wait for Monday's show to hear all about it. So lots of stuff to talk about today. I'm just trying to bring up the notes here right now. I'm just trying to think, what is the biggest story right now? Well, I guess UFC Austin is this weekend. No fights this weekend, sadly. Mm-hmm. So nothing to break down. But next weekend, UFC Austin, Beneil Dariush, Amosov Rukin, main event. Great fight that is. Co-main event was a 5-round co-main event between Bobby Green and Dan Hooker. And Dan Hooker, sadly, and I feel for the guy, he's re-injured his arm that he broke in the Jalen Turner fight. So he's had to withdraw from that bout. I saw him on Submission Underground. I think it's that Australian one.
Submission Radio.
Submission Radio, and he had his cast on.
Yeah.
You know, that sucks. You know, I mean, fair play in that Jalen Turner fight to push on through that. You know, even with a broken arm. And he had a broken orbital as well. And then start training and have to pull out. Do you think he turned that around too quick, Anthony? Not the Dr. Anthony, should I say?
No, probably not. So I've broken my arm in the same spot from kicks and hammer fists. And Dustin Jacoby, a good friend and teammate of mine, has also done the same thing. And we both re-injured ours several times because it's just a really tough spot. A lot of times if you get it plated, then the bone will break above or below the plate. If you get the rod put in, a lot of times you have to get the rod pulled back out, and sometimes it still breaks in that same spot. So we ended up putting a rod in mine and then leaving it, and it actually hasn't caused me too many problems. So I have a steel rod in mine, but Dustin Jacoby had to do the plates. They had to do it several times. He had a lot of problems with his. So, you know, it's tough, man. Maybe he did come back a little bit just because the matchup was, you know, kind of one of those sexy matchups. But I'm sure he'll get it figured out. In terms of Bobby Green, I seen that.
Bobby Green's getting a lot of coverage from you lately. You better pick your words wisely.
Well, I seen that Terrence McKinney offered to fight him. I seen that RDA came out saying that he would take the fight. I seen Jared Gordon. So I'm like rolling in my head. And so I was going to ask you, out of those three guys, who would you rather see Bobby Green fight?
None of them.
Okay. Who do you want to see him fight?
Benoit Saint-Denis.
Ooh. That's
Benoit Saint-Denis just fought. He just fought in New York City.
I never even considered that.
Who did he beat? He just had a stunning head kick. Matt Frivola.
Yeah.
I mean, what a performance. Benoit Saint-Denis, we're going to try and get him on the show. He's an intense son of a bitch. His fights are phenomenal. You know, he stopped Gabriel Bonfim. He had a great performance in Paris. He just stopped Frivola. And he just fought in the lightweight division. So I think that, I mean, he just fought. And he got a first round knockout. So he's going to be in shape. Yeah, okay, he's turning it around, but I don't think it'll be a five-round co-main event, but my vote, out of all the names I've seen floating around, Benoit Saint-Denis would be the one.
Wow, that's a good one. I haven't seen that one float around or even considered it. That gets my vote. That's better than all the ones that I was going to come up with.
I can't take the credit for it, but if we were to ask Bobby Green, he said, I want to see you gangster like me. I fought on 10 days' notice. I went on 2 weeks' notice. I done made weight. I passed the fuck out. My lungs collapsed and everything on 2 weeks' notice. I done it all. Let's see who's gangster like me. I guarantee, don't nobody step up, but let's find out. And as we know, three people have tried to step up. I'm not talking shit, Bobby. Don't come for me. Rafael Dos Anjos, he's just too heavy. I don't think the UFC are going to want to do a catch weight. You know, right. Fair play to Bobby Green. He just knocked out Grant Dawson.
Yeah.
Seems like yesterday he beat Tony Ferguson. That was like what?
August? Salt Lake City. So whenever that
August,
was.
August?
Yeah, ish. Summer.
Yeah. I mean, he's on a busy schedule.
I remember it was so hot.
He's on a busy old schedule. Yeah, man. Hey, this sport mixed martial arts. I mean, you're sitting there going, yeah, so me and some of my training partners, we've all had the broken arms, the titanium shin bones, the one eyes, the broken legs. Do you know what I mean? And that's before we get started on broken noses, jaws, orbitals, you know what I mean? Cauliflower ears, you know what I mean? It's a son of a bitch, but it's the best game in town. Are we missing anything on that, Harrington? Herringbone, show yourself.
No, nothing at all.
Oh, great addition. Thanks.
Asked me to show myself, so I did. I mean, you know, I think you guys kind of went past the Jared Gordon matchup a little bit quickly, but I mean, that's a guy who he does want to run it back very badly. He did get the win at New. He got the win in New York, and he said he's ready to make that turnaround. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that back up, actually. I think Jared Gordon probably deserves another shot at that. You know what I mean? Was that called a no contest?
It was a no contest because remember Bobby had that big old stack of cash that he was mad about not getting his second check. You know what? I hate giving Harrington props, but that's good on Harrington to bring that up because I kind of cruised on by the Jared Gordon matchup. Like, I don't know if the UFC would want to see that. Like, why wouldn't they? It wasn't that long ago that they had their little weird ordeal. Jared Gordon probably does deserve a rematch there.
And he just had a big win at Madison Square Garden, just like Benoit Saint-Denis. So, knocked out the wrestler, Marco Madsen, right? You never know. Watch this space. Seeing it is a Thanksgiving Thursday, Friday, whatever, we're all talking about food. Harrison stuck a ton of stuff in the non-MMA. But we'll start with this. Harrington, tell us about this Taco Bell thing. Because we know, Anthony, that's your favorite fast food, right?
I love a good Taco Bell.
Well, you love the burritos.
I like the burritos, the quesadillas. I really like the
burritos. You love the quesadilla. What would you do if you walked into Taco Bell to get yourself a quesadilla and you walk in and there's a fucking sex orgy going on?
Do I get the quesadilla?
Yeah, you can get the cheese, bro. You get the cheese. It might just be like firing forward. Just set the scene, Harrington, please.
So this is making the rounds now because holiday parties are coming up. So this was the idea here was a holiday party at Taco Bell. They told all the employees, like, bring a dish. We're going to do a potluck thing. It's going to be a nice little holiday party. So this girl shows up with a thing of guacamole, right? Expecting like a regular, you know, just work, get together, go home. She said all the windows were covered with like wrapping paper and they completely shut down the Taco Bell. They broke out a ton of booze very quickly. All the upper management were convincing people like, yo, keep drinking, keep boozing. She said she turned around and her boss was having sex with his wife while she made out with a couple of the other female coworkers there. She went to go outside to like get a breath of fresh air. She went back in to get the guacamole and everybody was puking on each other.
Hold on. You walk into a Taco Bell. You want to buy some food. You walk in. There's essentially an orgy going on. Who goes back in for the guacamole? Do you know what I mean? Who wants that guacamole? Do you know what I mean? I'm like,
someone considering taking part. That's you know what? Maybe I'll just go in and grab the old guacamole again. I'm like, maybe I'll
Taco Bell might be my favorite fast food now.
Sounds like a party.
Sounds like a great time. Sounds like what's gonna
why,
be going on.
Why was everybody puking? Did we find out, Harrington?
Yeah, because everyone had been drinking heavily and eating guacamole.
So she's suing Taco Bell.
Yeah, she is suing Taco Bell and the franchise owner.
For what though, Harrington? Stop jumping off until I dismiss you. Why is she suing? What is the grounds of the case? What is the? Is it emotional turmoil? You know what I mean? Is it service?
No, I mean she was an employee of the Taco Bell, so this is workplace sexual harassment. It's any number of. Yeah, I mean, if your boss at ESPN just started having sex with his wife in front of you, that's sexual harassment.
I mean,
I don't have to watch.
If it's at a, if it's, well, I don't know. I mean,
CNN Harrington's at it again.
The world's getting soft.
I'm just saying, listen, you would be a great lawyer for Taco Bell at this point because I have nothing.
Look away, leave. No, you know, if you handcuff someone and then forced them to watch, I feel like that's a different story. If you don't like the channel, just change the channel. Just leave.
I feel like if you go in and you can leave now, Harrington, if you go in, and it's not open for business.
Mm-hmm.
Consenting adults can do what consenting adults want to do. And I'm sure that they might have been embarrassed or whatever. But come on, that just to me sounds like a cash grab. Was it appropriate behavior? Definitely not. But come on, these are your colleagues. They're having fun. They're having a party. There's a bit of alcohol consumed. The store's closed and they're just having a bit of fun.
That's how I look at it. Again, is it the type of party that I would go to? Probably not. Once people are taking part in orgy, I'm probably like, hey guys, I'll see you on Monday. But I don't know. I just think everybody's so happy and it drives me crazy. Like, if you don't like what you're seeing and no one's forcing you to do it, just leave. Like, you don't have to stay there and be shocked and totally just discombobulated. And I don't know what to just fucking leave. You don't stay there, watch it and then sue. Just leave.
Everyone does get offended, though, these days over nothing. And I know we've spoke about this a lot, but it drives me mad. It drives me mad. Like yesterday, I had a little scenario. I won't go into details. I'll go into all the specific details because I have to give context. Okay. No, it's nothing bad. It's nothing bad. I went for a haircut yesterday. Look at that, looking smooth.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought Callum because his was not looking smooth. My God, he looked bloody homeless. And it's not a big thing. It's not a big thing, but it's just an example of how people get so worked up and offended over anything. And his hair on the sides was really long and like wild and bushy and all the rest of it. And I'm getting my hair cut and I walk over to see him. He's getting his hair cut, whatever the lady went for the bathroom or whatever it was. And I went over and he thought he was done, right? And it was still really long on the sides. I'm like, dude, you got to go a bit longer on the side. And he's like, no, this is how I want it. So I jokingly say to the lady cutting his hair, I said, just go short, ignore him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And he goes, no, I like it like this. And it's a very jovial bit of banter. He's 22 years old. He can have the hair the length that he desires. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But we're having a bit of banter. And I jokingly say, I'll throw you a good tip if, as I walk, I say, I'll give you a good tip if you make it a bit shorter. Just joking. She comes over to the other person and says, can you cut his hair? I don't feel comfortable cutting his hair now. Feels uncomfortable by the whole situation.
No way.
I swear to God, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? How does that make someone feel uncomfortable? No, not comfortable cutting his hair. Conflicting messages. Doesn't know what he wants. And I can't do the right thing. I'm just like, what the fuck? What is, this is the problem with California. Jesus Christ.
Did you go off?
I didn't because I was mid haircut. And I'm like, they might just like pull the plug right then and there. They're great. I think they were just intimidated by our beauty. I think it could have been.
Your striking beauty just throws people off sometimes.
Kickboxing skills, the striking. Talking of strikes, I don't know. That's a terrible segue. You should have done it. Bellator and PFL. We never talked about that on Monday. All right, this episode is sponsored by Prize Picks, which is the largest independently owned daily fantasy sports platform in North America. They are the easiest way and the most exciting way to play DFS. It is literally just you against the numbers. You just pick more or less than, more or less. All right, if you're at home, Friday, Black Friday football, let's go. We've got the Miami Dolphins taking on the New York Jets. And in this game, to win, all you got to pick is this. Will Tyreek Hill make more or less than 78.5 receiving yards, or will Bryce Hall have more or less than 78.5 rushing and receiving yards? It's that simple. I mean, honestly, it couldn't get any easier. Prize Picks is the most fun that you can have whilst playing, and you can win up to 25x your money this football season. As I said, you just select two players. You can test your skills on Prize Picks this football season, and it's the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $250 with just a few picks. Okay. Prize Picks also offers weekly promotions that can lead to big payouts like Taco Tuesday every Tuesday. Prize Picks discounts select player projections of up to 25% to provide even more value. And Prize Picks now offers Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits into your account this football season. So what more are you waiting for? It's so easy. A moron like Harrington could do it. In fact, he does do it. Right now, go to prizepicks.com/believe. Use the code believe for a deposit match of up to $100. One more time, prizepicks.com/believe. The code believe will get you a deposit match of up to $100. Your first deposit match of up to $100 when you go to prizepicks.com/believe. It was rumored for a long time that it was going to go broke. It was going to go bust, and PFL mm-hmm. now bought it, and it's all under one parent company. I saw, what's his name? I think it's Don Davis. He's like the chairman or something like that. And I'm not here to criticize or anything like that. And I'm very happy that fighters have other avenues to compete and make a living and earn money and all the rest of it. But it just made me laugh. And again, this is not me swinging off Dana's nuts. I saw a headline the other day. Dana White is worried, do you know what I mean, that they bought Bellator. And I was like, I don't think so. I really don't think so. I don't think they're going to lose any sleep at night. And I went through, because I was going to do a YouTube video on it, and I didn't do it in the end. So I Googled, Brian, just do it. Bring up the PFL roster and bring up the Bellator roster. And when you scroll through it, I'm sure they're really good fighters, so I'm not talking shit about them. It was just the headlines. Dana's worried, you know, because he's talking about us now. And I'm like, I really, really don't think so. And when I went through the roster, other than people that used to be in the UFC, I didn't recognize any of the names. And that doesn't mean they're not good fighters. It doesn't mean they don't have value. But it just, I'm like, I don't see how you're coming to the conclusion that Dana's going to be really worried about this.
Yeah, no, there's in PFL, there's a couple really good fighters. There really is.
Sure.
There's not a lot of big names. And that's because the UFC, every name that I recognize is a former UFC fighter, by the way, yeah. As this is scrolling through. But Jordan Heiderman, that's my guy, my training partner here in Omaha. But anyways, here's how I try to explain it. Like,
and I'm sure, by the way, these are all fantastic fighters. That's what I said, though. They're not talking shit about them, but in terms of they're going to bring down the business, they're going to take over from the UFC. Listen, God bless him. I hope it's a tremendous success. I just don't think this headline and him, this statement that he gave to Hell Warner, that Dana's worried. Dana's worried. I'm like, come on. Buddy.
Here's how I like to explain it. I think it would grasp it a little bit better than I've tried to explain it before. What happens to these big companies that fails when they try taking a shot at the UFC? Like, what you would rather do is have the UFC pay you no attention. That would be the better business move, because you're never going to be the UFC. And it's like, they're like cars. You can spend all the money in the world as a manufacturer and build a car that kind of looks like a Rolls Royce, and you just call it something else, but have it kind of look like one and make it cost similar to a Rolls Royce. Everybody who has money and is going to consume that product is going to go for the Rolls Royce. So like, there's a lot of other really nice cars that aren't Rolls Royces, and they're just fine with being whatever they are. Like BMW is not trying to be like Rolls Royce, but BMWs are really nice cars. There's a lot of people that drive BMWs, and I would probably drive one. But
like, for example, Del Taco, you can go to Del Taco, but you won't get an orgy like at Taco Bell. Exactly. They're not all the same thing.
Exactly. So Del Taco, you know, it does its thing, and Taco Bell does its thing. I don't know why everyone's so concerned with trying to be the UFC or trying to take over what the UFC has. It's great that there's other competitors out there. It drives the market higher. It gives a lot of fighters who aren't in the UFC an opportunity to make money and make a living and provide for their families. But I wish these companies would just be okay with being who they are. Like, yeah. The UFC is its thing. It's the Ferrari. It's the Rolls Royce. You're never going to be that, because that's an established brand. You can't take over a brand. It's just, you can make it look kind of the same. And I enjoy the PFL's platform. I like watching it. I really, truly do enjoy it, but because it's different. It's different. It looks a little bit different. It gives a new coat of paint to what I'm watching when it comes on. But I don't know. I understand competition, but I hate that it's the type of competition that it seems to be all the time with the UFC.
Well, it's not really going to be a competition. Brian, just Google Dana White worried about PFL just while we're talking, bring up the headline just to give a bit of context. And I agree with you. I agree. I mean, look, listen, I'm so happy because the more different promotions and platforms fighters have to make money and ply their trade, you know, and reap the benefits of the sacrifice that they go through, like what we talked about at the top of the show. Do you know what I mean? There's so many. It's such a hard sport, man. It's such a hard sport. There it is, threatened by PFL's recent purchase of Bellator. Again, it's just kind of hilarious. And of course, they've got great fighters. I don't want to repeat myself. And of course, there's a couple of crown jewels in there, maybe. You know, they got the Jake Paul. You never know how that's going to pan out. They've got Francis Ngannou. But there's two people, and there's a whole bloody roster of champions and the pay-per-views that are put on. I mean, look at the run of pay-per-views that they've been on recently. And again, I'm not swinging from the nuts. I'm just like, it just made me scratch my head. And by the way, this is nothing new. This has happened many times before. Remember back in the day, there used to be UFC and Pride. And they were the two big ones. And everyone always wondered which champion was better. What would happen if Randy Couture fought Fedor Emelianenko, and so on and so forth. And Dana brought Chuck Liddell out to Pride, and he got beat off Quinton Rampage Jackson, you know. Eventually, they bought Pride, and they brought all of those fighters, almost all of them, into the UFC, and some tremendous talent, Shogun, Wanderlei Silva, you know. Who else? The Nogueira brothers, Mirko Krokop, the list goes on. The only one that didn't was Fedor, because Fedor didn't just want money. M1, his management, actually wanted to do a co-promotion, and they never wanted to do that, and they never have and never will, I don't think. So it's nothing new. It's the same thing with Strikeforce. They did the same thing there. And they did it with WEC and brought in the lighter weight classes, you know. So, and eventually, I think that's what we'll see. Right now, it seems like they're going to keep both going as different entities, so they can do, it's Bellator versus PFL, champion versus champion. Maybe that would seem like a smart thing to do. But ultimately, they'll probably end up blending and forming one bigger company.
Yeah. Well, and if you want to grow it at scale, then you're going to need more fighters. You're going to need more fights. That's just how the business works. So that gives them the opportunity to do that. I hope they do well. It's the more organizations we have, the better. That said, I don't know. I just don't view it as a competition, I guess.
No. It just made me laugh. And of course, you know, there's the haters out there celebrating this and ringing the bell. This is amazing. This is incredible. It's going to be the downfall of the UFC. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Remember Affliction? That was also the downfall of the UFC at one point too.
Tom Aspinall does.
Really?
His back tattoo is sponsored by Affliction, by the looks of it. By the way, Tom Aspinall, you like that one? Tom Aspinall and Marlon Chito Vera will be joining us Monday's episode.
Hell yeah.
So we don't want to miss that one, boys and girls. So yeah, look, listen, again, I'm happy. I'm happy that Bellator didn't fold. I'm happy that they found a new home, because it's all the roster of fighters that I care about ultimately. You know what I mean? Those people still having somewhere to make some money. You know what I mean? When you go out there and you work so hard and you dedicate, which you know about your entire life to this, and then there's very few places, and some of those people, I don't want to say I couldn't make it in the UFC, but they were let go, their contract expired, whatever terminology you want to use, to still have a place to go and earn, look after your family. That's the most important thing. So I think it's great. I'm happy about that. All right, as we know, next pay-per-view, UFC 296, end of the year. You working that one, Anthony?
I am. You going to be there?
Oh, I'm not going to. I'm Tales from the Octagon, bro. I'm going to be on stage in Manchester, shitting my pants.
Well, yeah. Oh, you guys are like doing like a live watch-along, right?
Well, I will be watching it at some point, yeah. I will be watching it somewhere in Manchester. We're still going to figure that out. But before that, I'll be on stage with Paul and Tom. You know what I mean? Trying to entertain all the people. MyTicket.co.uk, by the way. Sick fight card, as we know, top to bottom. I was looking at it earlier. Top to bottom is brilliant. Even the prelims. The first fight of the night is Rude Boy Randy Brown. You know, I forget his
opponent right now.
First fight of the night. Wow. That's how stacked it is from top to bottom. Yeah, and of course, Ian Garry versus Vicente, and in the main event, Leon. And Leon and Ian Garry, they've been going back and forth a bit. Right? The story was that apparently Ian was kicked out of the gym. And they've been going back and forth. And then did you hear the rumor that apparently Leon knocked him out in training?
I did hear that. Yeah. I did hear that.
Yeah. And then, well, now, I don't know.
I don't know.
I think Leon played it down, to all credit to him. I think he played it down because he was asked about it. So I think he played that down as opposed to trying to seem like a badass and take credit for it. You know what I mean? But Ian Garry, I stumbled across a video today where he's talking about it in depth, about what happened at the gym. Take a little listen to this quickly.
I was not thrown out of Leon Edwards' gym. I was politely asked not to return.
Just pause it there. I think they're the same thing, bro. Sorry, Brian, we'll go back to it, but I think that's the same thing. I was politely asked not to return.
So you were nicely thrown out.
Have you ever been thrown out of a nightclub?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did it start with the doorman politely asking you to leave?
That's how it started.
Yeah. How did it end?
Me physically being removed.
Oh, exactly.
I was politely asked not to return because we are potentially on a collision path. And so there's two owners of the gym, Renegade, Tom and Ash, both of which I get along with, both of which said it was a privilege to work with me and that they really enjoy me being in the mats. Leon's head coach was the one who has an issue and was the one who asked me not to come back because he has his own best fighters, his own fighters' interest at heart. He was the one who had an issue, and he does not own the gym. I don't go up there because of Leon. I go up to Renegade because of Henry Clemson and Tom Breeze.
All right, he goes on for a while. I'm not hating on Ian Garry, and I'm not hating on Leon whatsoever. I just wanted to mention it because what I think Ian Garry is doing is really, really smart, because this whole narrative and all this talk and this tension and this beef and whatever you want to call it, whether it's manufactured, whether it's real, whether he was politely asked to leave or he was kicked out. Either way, those names are getting mentioned together a lot, and they're both fighting on the same card. Ian Garry's 6-0 in the UFC now. Undefeated, 3 finishes, 3 decisions. And I think he's slowly but surely, if he can get through Vicente Luque, he's talking himself into a title fight here.
Yeah, I think he is too. And what he's doing is even in that story that he told in that video, he's aligning himself on the same level as Leon Edwards. We're on a crash course. We're going to be competitors against each other soon. Like, from the outside looking in, if you're not a big fan of the sport or you're just a casual fan, if you just watch that video or kind of see this kind of issue between the two of them, you would think that these two guys are the number one and number two guys in the world. Ian Garry is very good at this media game.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's killing it. He really is. Reality is, he's got a tough fight. as we know, on that same fight card, though, is Leon versus Colby Covington. If we just hypothetically assume right now that Leon wins, if Leon wins, and that's a big if, Colby's a realistic threat with a certain set of skills that could be problematic. But if Leon wins, we could in London or Manchester or England, somewhere in the UK next year, maybe even Ireland, there's two champs. There's Tom Aspinall. There's Leon Edwards. You put them two together on a UK-based fight card, you know what I mean? Leon Edwards, Tom Aspinall, Ian Garry as well. I mean, come on, that would just be ridiculous. And talk about for the UK, elevating the sport the first time, two British champions on the same card. Yeah, I mean, that would sell out in a heartbeat. You could do a stadium with that.
And you're not talking Leon versus Ian, right?
Maybe Leon versus Ian. That's what I'm saying, because Ireland's right there.
You just pissed someone off real bad.
Who?
I'm telling him you said that.
Tell me.
Bilal.
He's coming for me.
You just overlooked Bilal Muhammad again.
All right.
To be fair, he's easy to overlook because he hasn't fought recently.
No man alive should be disrespecting Bilal Muhammad's body of work.
I do feel bad for him because he does get left out of the conversation a bunch, but he hasn't fought in a while either.
No.
So there's also that.
Yeah. And we went over that on Monday. He does kind of have a claim to the throne, so to speak, or he has a right to fight. But never mind that. We're talking about Ian Garry versus Leon
Edwards' throne.
Leon Edwards.
Is there any other UK heavyweights in the UFC? Any other heavyweights in the UK? Who is it?
Yeah. Tom Aspinall's teammate, Mick Parkin.
Give him a title shot.
Their teammates.
Give him a title shot.
I'm just kidding. Versus John Jones all over again. My God. No, but I just think that would be phenomenal. Of course, Leon's going to get through Colby Covington. And speaking of Colby Covington, Harrington set the scene for his pleas. Colby Covington has been out here doing his thing, of course. Harrington.
He had an issue with Leon just having the title. He said he had the right matchups at the right time to get to this point in his career. He fought a lightweight washout, Nate Diaz, and sat out almost 2 years to get his title shot. I don't think he warranted getting a title shot after beating that guy. He just cried, I deserve this, I deserve that, instead of just going out there and working for it and earning it like I did. I had to earn it the hard way. No one gave me this spot to fight for the undisputed title. I had to earn it. I had to go the unconventional because the straight ahead way wasn't available. He didn't earn it the way like I did. And December 16th, he's going to find out that he's going to get broken by the American dream.
I don't know if this guy's serious or not, because do I have to point it out? Do I have to say it? I've got Colby Covington's record. I was going to say right in front of me. I don't. Here it is. Since November 6, 2021, which was against Kamaru Usman, who Leon just beat twice in a row, he's had one fight. And he's had one fight against Jorge Masvidal. One fight in 2 years. I love Colby. I think he's an awesome character for the sport. Great personality. But come on, that's hilarious.
And just sat out and waited for it. Like he just, until no one. Yeah, and it worked. You know, and I haven't seen too much from Colby lately. Because what he does is he uses his personality and his brashness and all the and kind of all the bullshit to get him in till he gets into a title shot or a big fight. And then he just puts his head down and grinds and you don't hear from him for a little bit. So I haven't seen as much Colby as I expected to leading into this fight. But that tells me that he's working really hard.
Well, that's right. That's right, because you are correct. He's normally doing a lot of podcasts, talking a lot of crap, you know, saying wild, outlandish things. And maybe that's just Colby being Colby. Maybe he actually sees the humor in what he said. Do you know what I mean? Maybe. Do you think he does? Do you think he's saying that on purpose with a little tongue in cheek?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's smart then.
Quick question. Is this the new Chael Sonnen has never been defeated?
Well, I don't know about that.
Chael's definitely his inspiration for sure. They're very close, the two of them. I definitely think Chael has a lot to do with Colby's personality and turnaround. To be honest, they're very similar fighters too. like even in their styles.
Oh yeah.
Like, a lot of pressure.
But I do hear what you said though about Colby. He's disappeared. I haven't seen anything from him other than when he does the videos for like whatever betting platform it is. he has the models. Do you know what I mean? I do like those models because every time it's always different girls as well. Mm-hmm. And I know he lives down in Florida near Miami, of which there is reportedly many a hot female woman knocking around. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But I wonder how much he pays them to do that.
I wonder how you go about recruiting two hot models to be in your video.
I bet he just knew a couple of them. And then just like, they all have friends, you know, like, hey, let me get a couple friends. Let me flip them $100 to sit here for 30 seconds.
Or maybe he says it's the exposure. I know you're an aspiring model. Okay. Yeah. And it's tough to get a break. Brian, just bring up his Instagram page. Let's have a look at some of these. Because I say, oh, there's been a couple that, you know what I mean? I'm like, bro.
There's a couple busted flapjacks on there.
Busted flapjacks. Oh, my God. But I'm looking forward to that fight. Early analysis on that one. Mr. Smith.
I think he's going to make it real tough for Leon. I really do.
Here we go. We got a video on these. Play a video. Let's have a look. Here he is, America's favorite champion.
Hey, nerds and virgins. America's champion. Pick of the week brought to you by Colby Covington Incorporated and the undisputed king of sportsbook, mybookie.ag. Welcome back to the house
that
you built.
Anyway. Garden for- Not bad. He's got a decent taste there.
Yeah. Way to go, Colby. I just want to know how he gets him.
What do you think about that fight?
I think he's going to make it tough on Leon. I really do. I know that Leon beat Kamaru twice, knocked him out once, you know, and then decisively in the second fight. But I think styles make fights. And I think that Kamaru is probably stylistically the absolute worst matchup in the entire division for Colby Covington because he can match his wrestling, which Colby weaponizes along with his pace. So I think he's going to make it tough. Leon's going to have to, he's going to have to get his respect early. He's going to have to hit him hard and hurt him early. Mm-hmm. And although Leon does have power, he has the ability clearly, but he's not the biggest power puncher though. He's more of a volume guy and he wears people out just emotionally. I think he just gives so many different looks and just stabs at him constantly. So we're going to have to see a different Leon too, because Kamaru's more willing to stand and trade for longer than Colby is going to be. You know, Kamaru had some issues with his knees and doesn't wrestle as much as he used to. I can tell you right away, Colby is going to sprint across that octagon. He's going to throw high volume punches into takedowns, and he's going to do that for 25 minutes nonstop.
Well, to your point about Leon's power, I mean, listen, anybody could knock out anybody with a flush head kick. And that was sensational. But in 21 victories, only 7 knockouts. So that's not the highest ratio. And that's not, no disrespect to the champ. I think it's a fun fight. I'm looking forward to it. But you got to remember this. Donald Trump is going to be in the building in that one for sure, man.
Oh, and
Colby Covington can't lose in front of the president.
He can't. He can't let that happen. Absolutely cannot. How is it crazy that, like, I think we talked about this a little bit before, so I won't get too much into it, but a former leader of the free world is Colby Covington's biggest fan. It's the craziest thing in the world to me.
Hey, it's great. God bless you. It's a great sign for MMA. You know what I mean? Whether it's Bellator buying PFL or the other way around or Donald Trump showing up, it's amazing how far mixed martial arts has come in these. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been 30 years, so that's not a short time. But if you compare it to the history of other sports, 30 years is nothing. Yeah. You know what I mean? And look at that.
Does Kid Rock come with him?
Of course. Come on.
Has to.
It's like the Avengers. They've got to be there.
I can't wait for the Donald Trump, Kid Rock, Octagon walk.
All right, guys, let's talk about X-Bar, who are sponsoring this episode. I've spoken about them a few times. The X-Bar is fantastic. It is easy. It is light. It is versatile. You can take it on the road. It's a full gym in the palm of your hands. The X-Bar is an easy-style curl bar that uses resistance bands instead of weights. And it comes with a massive range from 5 pounds to 480 pounds of muscle building resistance. As I say, this is a full gym in the palm of your hands. It's great for travel. You get massive results in a very short time. You can get a great workout in just 10 minutes. It's safer for your joints. It has a lifetime warranty and it has over 1,000 five-star reviews. So as I say, if you're on the go a lot, if you don't have time to get to the gym, or you just don't want to leave the house, or you're in a hotel room, whatever it is, you can take the X-Bar with you very, very easily. Over 1,000 five-star reviews and a lifetime warranty. Right now, you can get 15% off as well when you go to xbar.com/pages/believe and use the code believe for 15% off and free shipping. You got to use the promo code believe when you go to xbar.com/pages/believe. The X-Bar, you're going to love this thing. Give it a try. Harrington, let's talk about non-MMA. In fact, no, let's keep it MMA or not. Your call, Anthony.
Let's do one more MMA. Let's do another MMA.
One more MMA. Jeez, I'm not prepared for that.
Okay. Let's do one more non-MMA.
All right. No, we'll do a non-MMA. Tell us about Joaquin Buckley. We've seen him tweeting recently. He's going down a storm on Twitter, talking all kinds of shit about Conor McGregor. Seems like he's trying to get the fight against Conor. I don't think that's going to happen. Harrington, what did Joaquin Buckley say, Mr. New Mantra himself? I like Joaquin Buckley. I think he's terrific. I like what he says on the microphone. Harrington, I'm feeling until you turn up. I like what he says on the microphone, Harrington. I like what he says on the microphone.
Oh, sorry about
that. Faster next time, please.
Yes, sir. You got it. So Joaquin Buckley said that he's training, even though he doesn't have a fight booked. He said, fighters know fighters, man. To be honest with you, Wonder Boy for the longest time didn't want to fight Shavkat. And I'm guessing the UFC gave him a good little bag in order to get him up in there. Regardless, this sport is all mental. So for some reason, I'm throwing up a lob. I don't think Wonder Boy is going to be able to make it to the cage for whatever odd reason. So let's get ready.
That's great. It's got nothing to do with Conor McGregor.
Nothing to do with Conor McGregor.
But never mind. He's been talking shit about Conor McGregor. You're right. That is in the notes, though, Harrington, to be fair.
I don't have the McGregor thing. I'll look at.
Why does he not think that Wonderboy is going to show up?
I don't know. They're probably just putting it out there. That he's probably going through the matchups and the fights coming up, and that was one that intrigues him. If somebody falls out.
Yeah.
That's what I would guess.
Joaquin Buckley is very, very talented. He's very capable, and he has got knockout power. My God, he's phenomenal to watch. But a fight with Conor McGregor is what he's been lobbying for, kind of, on Twitter. And people have just been talking shit, sending the memes of who the fuck is that guy, et cetera, et cetera. I saw that one quite a few times, you know. So fair play to him. Your boy, Brendan Allen. You're friends with Brendan Allen, right?
We're friendly, yeah.
Yeah. Robert Whittaker heard Brendan Allen's shout out and he said he's not interested. Obviously, Brendan Allen just win. Brendan Allen wants to fight people at the top. And Robert Whittaker is kind of dismissing the call out. He said, I'm pretty sure he said my name. What?
That's a Robert Whittaker thing. Have you ever seen Robert Whittaker ever respond positively to a call out? Robert Whittaker's whole shtick is, I didn't hear that. I had no idea. He's unbothered. I don't mean, and I'm not talking shit. It's just, he never responds like, yeah, I heard what he said and that I like that fight and maybe we could do that down the line. It's always like, oh, I had no idea.
He's Australian. They're so laid back.
Yeah, he's just so unbothered by it. But he says he doesn't really watch fights either. So maybe that's true. Maybe he just is like, oh, I no clue. Didn't see
it's
it.
It's funny, isn't it? I always find it quite curious when MMA fighters don't watch MMA. Mm-hmm. Like Tom Aspinall, same thing. He's not the biggest consumer of mixed martial arts products. He doesn't watch the UFC. Like Saturday, Mick Parkin, we just spoke about it before. He fought at the Apex. I'm lying on the couch. I text Tom, you're watching Mick. He says, no, I'm out at the minute. I'll be on probably just before it starts. I'll put it on then. I thought, you know, within fighting, you'll be sitting at home with your popcorn ready to go. Do you know what I mean? But he just doesn't really watch fights. I remember when, who was it? One of his opponents, Volkov, fought someone that he'd fought as well. I said, you watching this one, Tom? He's like, no, not interested. And I like that. I respect it. I really do. But I was telling this young lad that I'm
a bit jealous of it.
You know, and I'm kind of jealous as well. You know what I mean? Because I consume so much of it and it just looms large in my brain. all the time. Combat sports. To be fair, it's the only sport that I watch. But I do feel to a certain degree, you do need to. Not if you're in the position of, say, Tom Aspinall. But any young aspiring fighters out there, you've got to be obsessed with the sport. You know, you've got to be a nerd when it comes to fighting, because when you watch the best people in the world, like a Tom Aspinall or a Leon Edwards or the people on pay-per-view, you're seeing the very best and you're seeing what the highest level of mixed martial arts is. So you have to consume these products. Like this young lad that's training that I'm kind of monitoring a little bit, he doesn't watch any fights. He doesn't even know the rules of MMA, you know, other than like when he goes to the gym. I'm like, dude, right? And listen, you know, he can't afford the pay-per-views and subscriptions to ESPN and all the rest of it. But I'm like, number one, you can come around my house when I'm here. We'll watch the fights together. Number two, go on YouTube. I said, there is a wealth of content. There's Pride fights. There's old UFC fights. There's all kinds of stuff on there. And in terms of learning as well, I mean, this younger generation now, and I sound old when I say that, but they do have it so easy. You know what I mean? You want to know certain techniques, just type it into YouTube. You can find anything on YouTube, anything. I remember back in the day, me and I think it was Dan Hardy trying to figure out ways to get out of triangles. You know what I mean? And just like, you know, putting certain body parts here and there and trying this. I'm like, oh, I think this one works. You know what I mean? Now you type it into YouTube, both 10, 20, 30 different ways to get out of a triangle will pop up. It's so easy.
Well, and that's how I feel like, because I watch so many fights and work so much that I feel like I'm always kind of training, because I'm always seeing how different guys do things, different teams attack certain problems different ways. So like I'm constantly learning from watching so many fights. The reason I wish that I didn't watch so many fights is because sometimes it skews my view on my own fights. Like I have such an analytical brain where it's like, all right, well, I got to fight this guy and he does this. Well, every single time I've seen someone with this skill set fight someone with my skill, here's how, like, I just get wrapped up into this information bubble in it. I just skews how I look at the sport. It doesn't give me such a pure look at the game.
I think the term you're looking for is paralysis by analysis.
That is the term. Yeah. Like, I have too much information for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I do know.
I just know too much. You know what I mean, bro? You just know too much.
but you do learn by watching. That's why even if you can't train and you go to the gym, you know, it's like you're training those neural pathways. And even apparently, even just thinking, if you learn a new technique, you know, like, and regardless what sport it is, when you first try it, you can't do it and you look silly and stupid and like you look like you're never going to be able to pull it off. But then you train it a bunch of times, all of a sudden it gets better and better and better. And then eventually you can do it with your eyes shut. Apparently even just closing your eyes and imagining that you're going through the motions of an arm bar or whatever it is, it's training those neural pathways in your mind. Mm-hmm. And then it's almost as good as physically doing it. You know, you're remembering the steps, you know. So if you're an aspiring young fighter, get on bloody YouTube. Anyway, we were talking about Robert Whittaker. He said, I'm not sure, talking about Brendan Allen. He said, I'm pretty sure in his speech, he said that he wants to fight a contender. He wants to fight me or Cannonier. I think he's number 10 now. Obviously not broken into those top guys. I don't know. I'm not a matchmaker. Paul Craig wasn't a 10th ranked dude. He wasn't high in the 10 rankings. Allen's got to have his bite still. I guess the top 10 fights, just do your work. UFC realize that. They recognize that. The matchmakers are there. I don't know who he fights next. To be honest, I don't care.
See, I love Robert Whittaker. And I've gone on record several times saying Robert Whittaker is by far my favorite, like one of my favorite fighters. I can't get enough of Robert Whittaker. But sometimes he like pretends like, oh, I'm not sure. Maybe he called me out. And he's like, but the guy he just fought wasn't ranked number 10. He was ranked number 13th. And he like starts going into the details.
Breaks like, it all down.
And then at the end, sounds like he works for the UFC. Oh, just like he's giving him advice. Oh, just trust and believe the process. You're going to get there, little buddy. Just trust what the UFC is doing. They see you. They see you. Like, I don't know, kind of stunned him a little bit, which I appreciate. If you're Robert Whittaker, that's what you do. You know, Robert does a good job of sitting and strategically stepping in when it makes sense for him. And I've always respected that about him. He's never been able to be bullied into anything.
Well, he controls his emotions.
He does.
He does a really, really good job of that. He's a very cool, calm-headed guy. You know, you don't see him losing his temper. You don't see him flipping out and saying stupid, outlandish stuff. Everyone has different styles. Roberts is just very true to himself. And he's like,
do you think he's a maniac behind closed doors?
I think there's definitely a little maniac inside there, or perhaps one that's dying to get out. You know what I mean? And he's got to control himself. Or maybe he was a nutcase when he was younger and he's tamed the beast, so to speak. He's still pretty young, What is he, early 30s, I would say now.
No, he's in his 20s. He's like 20.
Just get the fuck out of here.
I think he's like 27.
No, 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 I'm not guessing. Having it. I think I'll give you a 29.
I think he's like 27 or 28.
If he's under 35, I'm going to be pissed.
He's definitely, I don't think he's in his 30s.
To be fair, though, going back to what he said, if Brendan Allen is ranked number 10, I think that's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
That probably that doesn't do anything for Robert Whittaker. But sadly, because I think, just to exercise Brendan Allen's point, Robert being the guy that he is, being the world-renowned, world-class fighter, and one of the very best that we've got in the middleweight division, he's kind of got used to being in these monumentous matchups.
Right.
Against people like Israel Adesanya or number one contender matchups and all the rest of it. So he's like, in his mind, he's like, well, I'm not fighting Brendan Allen. Why would I want to fight Brendan Allen? I'm going to be the next guy in line if I just get one more win, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Dricus du Plessis changed the scenario on that one, but
dude,
he needs to fight somebody.
He does. And he's 32, goddammit. I was wrong. Which is still pretty young.
Still young, not 29. All right, okay. Do you want to know what the code is for finding a woman?
The code?
The code. There's a graph. Or knowing about a woman.
I'd love to hear about it.
Brian, if you bring it up, number 6, we got a viral video. I tweeted this the other day. I thought it was absolutely hilarious because it's so on point. Not necessarily saying it's true, but it is a funny video. It's a man sitting in a bar and he has a triangle. And in the triangle, you can have hot, sane, and single. Okay. And you can have two of them. You can't have all three. Okay. And you got two of the points. All right. Check this out. This is great.
Like finding a woman. You only get to pick two.
Turn it up a bit,
Brian. You've got hot at the top.
Yep.
You've got sane. And then you've got single. Okay. You only get to pick two.
Okay.
So basically, if she's hot and she's sane, then she's definitely not single. If she's hot and she's single, she's definitely not sane.
This is the best fucking matrix I've ever seen.
And if she's sane and she's single, but she's definitely not hot.
If she's sane and she's single, she's definitely not hot. He might have a point.
Yeah, he might have a point. It's like that crazy hot matrix.
It's like I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to that, but it's like a different graph when like he tracks the level of hot versus the level of crazy. And you got to figure out what you can deal with.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. And at some point, they intersect.
Yeah, yeah. And at some point where they're like an 8 hot or a 9 hot in a like a 2 crazy, well, that's a guy.
There might be a good mayor in Manchester soon as well. Did you see this? Tyson Fury's dad?
Oh, John Fury. Yes.
John Fury is running for the mayor of Manchester. I mean, John Fury, this man is out of his goddamn mind. He's running to be mayor. We're not going to get into it. We don't need to break it down, but I just thought, hey, way to capitalize.
Anybody vote for him? Anybody vote for him?
I don't think it's actually officially started, but...
But would they?
I don't know. There's some crazy people in Manchester. They might do. They might do. Would you vote for him if he was... No.
No.
No man alive should be voted for John Fury. Okay, Harrington, to throw a mixed martial arts story at us, please, so we can give it some analysis, because I've got analysis paralysis.
So I thought this one was interesting. Ilya Topuria, he talked a little bit about the Volkanovski fight coming up. He said, I just want to get back to my backgrounds. I'm doing a lot of grappling, a lot of wrestling, because that is where I really think I have the advantage with him. He's a good striker, but he's not a natural wrestler, or he's not good on the ground. That is where I'm going to make a difference. I was a little shocked to hear that, so I want to get...
So Topuria He's talking about, who's he talking about there? Volkanovski?
Volkanovski. Yeah.
He's saying that Volkanovski can't wrestle.
He's saying
that Volkanovski isn't a good grappler.
Okay, that's where I got confused when he was saying
here, because I was like, hold on a minute,
thought he was giving us a quote about Volkanovski, but everything he said, I was like, he's not talking about Volk. I'm like, wait a second, is he really talking about Volkanovski? Can't wrestle, can't grapple? All right.
He works with Craig Jones. No, Volkanovski's fantastic. Of course, his bread and butter, his main weapons are on the feet. And I guess he's not an offensive wrestler, you know, but I'm sure he could be if he wanted to.
Did he get a takedown on Makhachev?
I believe he did, yeah. Certainly knocked him down anyway. And I know he's not exactly a Damian Maia or a Jake Shields, if we will, on the ground, but I'm sure he could be. I mean, to escape those submissions that he did against Islam Makhachev, you got to have a real high-level understanding of jiu-jitsu.
I mean, fuck Islam. What about Brian Ortega? He swam with that shark. He swam in those waters for a long time. He's one of the best submission grapplers in that division. Probably the best jiu-jitsu guy.
I mean, to be fair, a lot of that time his head was underwater, and I'm talking about the guillotine attempt.
Yeah.
But because he's got no neck, he's a bowling ball with legs and eyeballs, he was able to survive. I mean, fair play to him. The man showed a lot of heart.
For sure. And went right back into it. Like, as soon as he got out of every single one of those submissions, he dove right back in, which I thought was crazy. But I don't know. I like Topuria, but that sounds crazy.
Did we go in depth about this fight recently? I don't think we did. If we didn't, this might be the best time for anybody to fight. Well, it is the best time to fight Volkanovski. Mm-hmm. He just got knocked out, and he's just lost two fights in a row. Now, granted, he went up a weight class, and it's 155, and it was against Islam, who now is, I think, the pound for pound number one, right? Yeah, should be anyway.
Short notice.
And it was short notice, of course. But he has lost twice.
Yeah.
And Alexander the Great is fantastic. He's brilliant. And I'm such a fan of the human being, the way he fights, his attitude, what he did there in Abu Dhabi, unbelievable. But next fight, going into that, after being knocked out, and I think we saw that with Kamaru Usman against Leon Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a little bit of timidness, regardless who you are.
Yeah, it's either the best time or the absolute worst time. Either he's a little bit timid, a little bit gun shy, a little bit hesitant, or he's got a good case of "I'll fucking show you guys," and he's motivated, he's angry, he's a madman. And he's just going to town in the gym, training his ass off. He's going to come in an absolute monster. Or he gets there and he's a little bit gun shy. It's one of those two things are going to happen.
I agree. It probably will be one of those two. But if we say that he is going to do that and he's going to train like a madman, he's going to show everyone, you all doubted me. You thought I was over. Y'all must have forgot. You can overtrain.
You can.
And that can be really, really bad. It's a real tough one as a fighter. Do you know what I mean? Because obviously he's so used to winning. I forget the win streak that he was on. And he's still, of course, the champion. But when you lose two in a row, you're like, fuck, this doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
I've got to change something. I've got to go harder. I've got to fix things. But not necessarily.
Sometimes you just get caught. Like in the Islam fight, I don't know how you look at any film or tape and fix that. It's just one of those things. He just got caught. It was a well-placed, well-timed, well-executed kick. Sometimes you just got to let shit like that. There's something you can take from everything. You can get better at your weight cut. Obviously, it was short notice, so it's not like his preparation could have changed, but he could have. I don't know. He'll find things, but realistically, sometimes you have to be okay with that was more him and less me. And that's just how it goes.
Now, layman listening to you say that would say, what do you mean? What could he fix? He put his hands up, blocked the head kick. Yeah, and that's what well and good saying that, but there's a reason why his hands weren't there. Generally, he's not the guy with his hands by his waist, you know, like a Yuri Prohaska or whatever. Generally, he is here. There's a reason why the hands were going low, because he was getting kicked low. He was getting kicked to the body and things like that. There's so much going on in mixed martial arts. You can't have this the whole time. It's not boxing, you know what I mean? So yes, you could say you should have the hands higher. He got caught, he got beat by the better man on the day. You can't then start dissecting him and discrediting his whole body of work. I mean, the man's phenomenal.
You can't defend everything at the same time. You just can't.
Yeah.
Like, he thought it was going low and it went high. Like, I guess you could fix it and say, I wish my brain thought something different, but that's just not the game. That's not the game.
And then some people might say, well, what if you went high and went low? Which he might have done.
He might have.
And they'd say, well, you don't win a fight by kicking somebody in the leg. And I would say, speak to Jared Cannonier and Anderson Silva.
Yeah.
You know what right. I mean? It's, you know, you can't, more often than not, you don't stop people with leg kicks. It's very, mm-hmm. very rare, but we have seen it. And of course, you would rather take a head kick than a leg kick, no question. Mm-hmm. But to your point, you can't block everything.
Right. Well, and if you decide that you're just going to start taking stuff, then you start rolling. Then you, now you're being defensive, which is not Volkanovski's game. He's looking to like, let's counter this, let's parry this, and I'm going to come in on a counter. And this isn't like he throws, I defend, then I throw, he defends, and it's back and forth. This is a blended game. So you got to be offensive and defensive at the same time. And sometimes shit just doesn't go. You know how many people Volkanovski's done that to?
Mm.
Sometimes it's just your turn. And people don't want to accept it. Us as fighters don't want to accept it. But anytime I've lost, I've always been like, now how many people have I done that to? Way more. I've done it to way more people than have done it to me. So it's sometimes it's just your fucking turn.
Yeah. 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 Sound advice for life.
For life. Sometimes you know it's your turn for shit to suck.
Sometimes you're on top. Sometimes you're on the bottom. And everything's a cycle. You won't always be at the top. You won't always be at the bottom. These are words from Jason Perillo's father. Okay, all you men out there, if you want to boost that testosterone, but you're buying products and you're not getting the results, then you need to try out a product that actually works. That is why you got to try Nugenix Total T. And by the way, they let you try before you buy. I mean, that's a pretty good offer. Why? Because they're so confident that you will get the results that you're looking for. Got a bit of a dad bod. You haven't got the energy. You know, you can't get it up. Whatever the issue is, get a complimentary sample when you text 231-231 and you enter the code word believe, okay? So what is it? Well, Nugenix Total T Testosterone Booster with Testofen will help you turn back the clock and re-energize your life. But don't just take our word for it. As I said, try before you buy. If it works, then I suggest you continue using it. If not, then you keep the sample. You've literally got nothing to lose, but you could gain energy, muscle, drive, and passion. Get your complimentary sample, as I said, when you text 231-231 and enter the code word believe. Now, Nugenix Total T contains man-boosting ingredients like Testofen, which has been shown in clinical studies to boost free testosterone levels in men. This is the unprecedented formula with science-backed key ingredients to safely maximize your free and total testosterone levels. It helps you increase muscle mass and skyrocket your performance. And don't be misled. Every product professes quality, but many use all generic ingredients that are far less than clinical grade. With Nugenix Total T, you get premium key ingredients at the same price, at the same potency used in the trials. A Nugenix formulation is backed by years of science and research. Oh, by the way, check this. Nugenix is the number one doctor-recommended brand and the number one selling testosterone-boosting brand at GNC and Walmart. And right now, you can get a complimentary bottle. Just go to, in fact, don't go anywhere. All you got to do is sit on your backside and text 231-231 and enter the code word believe. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, the newest and most powerful fat incinerator with key ingredients to help you lose fat and get lean fast, absolutely free. Text 231-231. Enter the keyword believe. 231-231. The keyword is believe. Just in case you forgot. 231-231. Let's go. 30-year anniversary was recently. We talked about it. Top 30-est fighters, so the 30 greatest fighters in the UFC. Harrington said here in the notes, there's a list, because I've been seeing a lot of talk about this in the media, but I haven't seen a consolidated list.
Neither have I.
I keep seeing fucking videos that they want me to watch. I'm sorry.
I want the MMA junkie.
I don't want to hear from you and sit through a long list. Harrington, tell me you've got a list.
I do have a list. They published it on their website, finally.
For the love of God, am I on it?
Let me check.
Can you put the list in the notes?
Yeah, it's on here. I do. Let's not. You know what? I don't believe so.
I know. I didn't expect to be. That was the joke. Self-deprecation. But just scroll through them. So Dustin at 30, 29, Frank Shamrock. Ngannou. Jan Jacek, 27. Fergiga, 26. Tito Ortiz. I'm Anthony Gall.
Cain Velasquez, Dominic Cruz,
23,
Valentina Shevchenko, 22, Matt Hughes, 21, Ronda Rousey, 20, Max Holloway, 19, Chuck Liddell.
I'm stepping in. Chuck Liddell at number 18. We got Henry Cejudo, King of Cringe at 17, Israel Adesanya, the style bender, comes to the 16, and Conor McGregor, the notorious one, at 14, Anthony.
Royce Gracie's at 14. Kamaru Usman, we have at 13. BJ Penn at number 12. Number 11 is Randy Couture. Number 10, Stipe Miocic. Alexander Volkanovski comes in at number 9. Amanda Nunes, number 8. Daniel Cormier is number 7. Mr. Bisping.
I'm taking the top five.
Jose Aldo is number 6.
Khabib Nurmagomedov, known to some people as the greatest of all time, comes in at 5. Stepping down into the 4, we've got Anderson Silva. Demetrius Johnson, Mighty Mouse, defended the belt so many times at 3. John Jones at 2. George St. Pierre comes in at number 1. What do you think of that list? Because there's some legendary fighters, of course, and they all deserve to be on there. What do you think of the order?
I don't know that the order really matters.
No.
I don't know that the order really matters. Maybe the top five probably is most important. But after that, I think just being on that list, you can kind of just consolidate them all. Was there anyone that was on there that you were surprised about?
Oof. No, there's no one that I was surprised. But without looking at the roster right now, I might go through the entire roster, which of course is a lengthy job, and be surprised that somebody wasn't included. There certainly wasn't a time there where I looked and I thought, he shouldn't be on there. They shouldn't be remembered and honored for their body of work. And I wouldn't say that about anybody anyway, even if I did think it.
Yeah.
What about you? I'm joking.
No one that I would say, we got to get him off of there. I was surprised that they put Francis on there. But
yeah,
that's
interesting. What number was he, Brian Harrington? Just let us know.
Yeah, I was surprised.
He was the heavyweight champ.
It's hard to make an argument that he shouldn't be on there.
He knocked out Stipe.
He did. He was 28.
To be fair, number 28. So high on the 28. List.
Yeah. Yeah. So I can't give you an argument that says he shouldn't be. I was just surprised that. You know, they would.
I guess I'm surprised a little bit to see not some, and I guess there wouldn't be 30 of the greatest fighters today, but some of the old school pioneers on there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Royce Gracie, does he deserve to be remembered as one of the top 30th mixed martial artists of all time when he was the main man that kind of got the ball rolling and he was a champion of UFC 1?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think probably. He does.
Yeah.
I think he does.
Where was he out on that list?
He wasn't on it, if I'm not mistaken.
No, he was on there at 14.
14.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I was too busy doing my thing, Harrington. I was too busy being comical to the guys. Talking shit, going fast.
Frank Shamrock was a little surprising too. But he is one of those early pioneers. So, like, I think he...
But Frank Shamrock was, and I don't know because I wasn't like deeply embedded in the sport back then, but Frank Shamrock is kind of the guy that's credited for bringing cross training to mixed martial arts. He was like the first guy to really start focusing on cardio, as was Tito Ortiz, extreme conditioning. You know, I mean, you think back and I don't know, what's he called?
He was like one of the first Americans that kind of really understood jiu-jitsu too.
Yeah.
He really understood the grappling game early.
I remember seeing some instructionals from Frank Shamrock back in the day. They were pretty good. I'm surprised Ken Shamrock wasn't on there as well.
Yeah, me too.
My God. Which comical ones could we throw out there? That I mean, Artem Lobov.
I was going to swear to God I was going to say Artem.
Artem's the GOAT. Nice and flowy.
Yeah.
Nice and flowy, Artem. Who else have we got there? Definitely should have had a mention.
Yeah, Artem deserved it.
Artem Lobov, you can't top that one.
That was my one. That's where I was going to go right away.
Artem Lobov, the GOAT. Oh, shit. CM Punk?
So you have to get a CM Punk on there.
CM Punk should have been on there.
Yeah, a Mike Jackson for sure.
I was thinking Mike Jackson.
Yeah, see, he beats
an ironic top five greatest of all time would be CM Punk.
Mike Jackson.
Yeah. Autumn Lobo for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Betch Correa. Remember the little ass shake she used to do?
Yeah, just a little bit of a little twerk.
Made me want to vomit in my mouth.
Oh, fuck.
I don't want to see that.
James Toney has to be number five on that list then, no?
Nah, James Toney. Fair play to James Toney, man. He came over as a boxer and got submitted. At least he had the balls to step in there.
Yeah, at least he didn't get knocked out either. So, I mean, yeah, he was out of his element.
Out of his element. And we're out of our element today. We're trying to piece a show together. Yeah. We're doing it, though. There's no fights to break down.
No, I got bad Wi-Fi. Your pet's heads are falling off.
You got no Wi-Fi. We got a new bird. We got Robin. I told you that already.
How's Robin doing?
He's doing all right. He's a little freaked out today. I'll give you an update.
And did you tell him what happened to the last one?
I didn't. I think he figured it out, though. We found a couple of blue feathers in the cage. And he's like, these aren't mine. And they're not fucking ravens. He's white.
He's like, hey, today, bud, where did you get these from? Yeah, that was the last guy that lived here. What happened to him?
Today we got in the sauna and Rebecca said, I want to put the birds outside. And I'm sorry, everyone, if you're thinking, oh, here goes with the birds, but we're chit-chatting. Rebecca said, I want to put the birds outside because they do freak out and get more alive and the natural vitamin D and all the rest of it. And she said, I want to do it. And I said, well, that's fine. When we sit in the sauna, because it's in the garden, I said, just plunk them down on the floor right in front of us because she's worried about the squirrels. She's thinking everything's going to come to kill the birds. And anyway, so we sit them down. Because it's a glass sauna, so we can see the birds. And Harry comes along, and he's fucking.
Oh,
he's fucking prowling up.
He got a taste of blood.
He did. He's like, ooh. And the birds just froze. They did not move. And Harry, in fact, I got a little video, Brian. I'll send it to you for the edit because it's funny. I'll send it in. But anyway, Raven's waffled on.
That's the guy. That's the guy.
Don't move. Do you know what I love, Anthony? I love how you remember the name of the birds. You're like,
yeah, I do.
You got it right.
Right.
Raven and Robin, God bless you. Right. Wherever you are in the world, thank you for watching the show and supporting us. We do appreciate that. If you're in the United States of America, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. They spent some time with your family and all the rest of it, and we wish you nothing but the best. If you have a question, please send them in to bympod@gmail.com. We love answering the questions, so please keep them coming. Don't be shy. Get a little bit silly. Get creative. And yeah, that's about it.
If you are listening on Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure to subscribe. Leave us a 5-star rating, positive review. It really helps us out on those platforms. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to the channel and you hit that notification bell to find out whenever a new episode comes out. And if you want to catch over 500 episodes, you can't get anywhere else, completely ad-free and totally uncensored, head to gasdigital.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get a 7-day free trial. Check it over 20 great shows on the network.
Bam. All right. So first question we have here today is from Gabe. He's looking for some life advice.
Okay.
What's up, guys? It's Gabe from Memphis, Tennessee. And today I was wondering if you think being a fighter or just training MMA at least will hurt you or help you with the ladies. I know you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, but I've also missed 100% of the shots that I have taken, which is a bit of a bummer. I've been training MMA for about a year now, and I don't have any cauliflower ear, no broken nose to be a conversation starter. Maybe I'm just not training hard enough. So just want to get your thoughts on that. I know you guys are married, but if you have any funny stories from your youth, that'd be awesome. Harrington, I know you fought recently, but if you're looking to get back in there, I could fly to New York and we could throw down. I know you've got like 500 pounds on me, but we'd make it work. I could send a contract if you want. Love the show, guys. Appreciate it.
I like this guy.
I do too.
I think he takes Harrington.
Yeah, definitely. He's been training for a year.
For the audio only listeners, very young guy. Looks very to be clean smaller, cut. Looks to be young.
Clean cut, very young.
What would you say? 17, 18?
Yeah, 17 or 18.
Young. I think he beats the shit out of Harrington.
I think he dog walks Harrington anytime he wants.
All right. Will it help with the ladies?
No.
If they can tell that he's a fighter?
Probably not. Probably not. No. What it will help with, maybe I'm taking this way too serious. But he seems like a very nice, you know, young, sweet kid. I don't know how old he is, but
level-headed.
Yeah, he seems like
still a virgin.
Potentially, he seems like
he's
the type of kid that
would dating questions to BYM.
Yeah, he seems like the type of kid that would get overlooked because he's a nice guy. I think that training and specifically mixed martial arts gives you a lot of confidence. I really do. I think that's martial arts in general. And I think that that can help later on down the road when you do get into a situation where you're dating. Anytime, you know, me and Michaela have been together a long time, since 2010. I started in 2006, so I didn't have a whole lot of time as a fighter single. But it wasn't very cool because I didn't make any money. I was fucking broke. All I did was train. I lived in a shit box. I drove a shit box. I couldn't do anything fun. There was no real dating happening or hanging out. Like, I was not cool because I was broke and busy.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's what I was going to touch on. It's all well and good, you know, if you're on pay-per-view and you're killing it and you're yeah. making loads of money and yeah. they see you on TV, you know,
neither
I mean?
One of us were single when we were on pay-per-view.
yeah. But that's not the reality for most people. Yeah. And also for fighters, I mean, like, for example, Steve-O, did you see just recently John Jones helping him out to get cauliflowered ear? Did you see that?
I did, yeah.
I mean, I love Steve-O. He's out of his goddamn mind. Because the cauliflowered ears, whilst they are more prevalent in society these days, they still shock a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I still have people asking me all the time, and I don't even have a bad case. It's bad. That one's bad enough. Yeah. That one's okay. How are yours?
This one's better than the other one. This one's pretty well fucked.
Yeah. So that still shocks some people, and some people find it kind of gross. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean? But people seem to want them for some reason because they wear it as a badge of honor. So walking around, if you're just like just getting started,
and they suck to get, like, it's fine now, but God damn, it's a good couple years of misery. Can't sleep on a pillow. It's terrible.
Brian, see if you can just quickly bring up that video of John Jones. I mean, this is the fucking craziest thing ever, right? It's for the audio listeners. He's got his ear between two 45-pound plates, right? And John Jones is punching it with a boxing glove on. I mean, that is just insane. And that's going to cauliflower it for sure.
And eventually his ear explodes, I think.
Oh, does he really? I didn't get
I think
far.
They put it like he lays down. They put it on top of something hard. And then John Jones puts the strap to his belt on top of it and hits it with a hammer. He puts the strap on and then hits Steve-O with it. Yeah, but the leather strap puts on top of the ear. There it is right there.
Oh, yeah. Look and at that. Look at all the blood.
Yeah, and hits it with a hammer and it explodes. Have you seen Steve-O's special? It's called Bucket List, I think.
No, I haven't seen it. No.
So I finally met him for the first time in New York and we got to chit chat and from what you've seen, I could not have been more. You know, they always say don't meet your heroes because you're going to be disappointed. I was totally the opposite direction. I was so shocked at how educated, how much fun, how polite, and how just caring of an individual he was. But anyways, he talks about a special a little bit. And so I rent it like two nights ago. And you got to get it off his website or whatever. And I watched it. And there's people... The concept is really cool. It's like stand-up comedy, but then it flashes. He like tells a story and then flashes to like the skit. There's literal people passing out in the crowd while watching his show because they can't handle it because it's so insane.
The stunts that he's doing?
Yeah, they're insane. Wow. Insane. It's another level. It's way past Jackass. Some of it's not even funny. I just sat on my couch like...
Yeah, Steve-O's kind of like... I mean, it brings you back to what you said about Robert Whittaker. Do you think there's a psycho in there? And now it's the other way around with Steve-O. He's definitely psychotic. He's a madman. But when you meet Steve-O, he's great. He could not be, as you said, he's the most nicest person,
he's
cordial,
very
respectful,
kind.
well spoken. Nah, I'm sure don't get me. And he's always with his girlfriend, fiance, wife. I apologize for, I'm not sure which one it is, his lady. He's always with his lady. They're always together. She's a massive fan of MMA as well. I saw him at Madison Square Garden as well. She's just the biggest fan of MMA. But like deep down inside, I can only imagine what he was like when he was younger. You know what I mean? But he still does that, like, wild shit.
Well, he's sober now. I can't imagine. Yeah. Look how crazy he is sober. Can you imagine like that same insane person on drugs and alcohol? Part of me wishes I would have met him just one time.
Oh, man, you would have had some legendary nights out. Yeah. I'm telling you. People like that back in the day, they were good to hang around with, man. We had a guy in our group, Rick Eatoff. He was a madman. He didn't give a shit. He just did everything for everyone's entertainment. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't even sound that bad, but like, you know, he would always just take his clothes off. He would always just take his clothes off and run around. Like, there was this pub. It's like, listen, it's a little tiny town, Clitheroe. And there was a pub called the Social Club. And it's like an old men's social club. Yeah. And inside there's snooker tables, and in the back there's like a tiny little function room. It's not a big place. And in the function room, you could rent that out. You know, and people would have engagement parties or a birthday party or something like that. And it was always for like old grandmas and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because it's like, it's just that kind of place. All the old timers went there, you know? Mm-hmm. And somehow, some way, it kind of got incorporated into the circuit of pubs that all the youngsters used to go in on the weekend. So on a Friday night, all of a sudden, it would be packed. Right, so we'd all be in there and it'd be packed out and they were loving it. And they started charging £1 on the door, the cheeky bastards, just to get extra money off us. And so we're all in there, the pub's packed, everyone's sitting on the snooker tables, we're all drinking and chatting, whatever. On the other side of the wall, there's, I think it might have been a wake, it might have been a funeral or something that for this lady that had passed away.
Oh, right? God.
And sometimes they'd be like, you know, we were single back in the day. You go in there because there might be a few birds, you know, and you pretend you were with the party. And we're like, come on, let's go have a walk around in there and see what's going on. So we'd always go in and like kind of invade the parties that we were never invited to. All you had to do was walk to a door. And there was shared toilets and everything. So it was kind of the same place. And Rick Eatoff just decided to go to the toilet, strip all of his clothes off, completely naked, and then just went running around
the wig.
Yeah. And it just caused the biggest fight because the people there were obviously very, very offended. You know what I mean? Oh, God, I don't know why he did it. I don't know why he did it. He took all of his clothes off and just went around with his dick out.
Yes. See, and that's why everybody needs a maniac friend.
That's why everybody needs a maniac friend. And that's why we don't talk anymore. I hope he's well wherever he is. He's in Clitheroe. Brian, give us another one.
All right, so here's one with some energy. This one's from Sterling.
What the fuck is going on, boys? Sterling from Houston, motherfucking Texas. I got two quick questions, baby. First one for the motherfucking legend, Mikey B. What was it like coaching the Ultimate Fighter with Jason Mayhem Miller? And what the fuck was it like when that little fight broke out during the weigh-ins and you had to break the children apart? Motherfucking legend, Mikey B. Second question is for the motherfucking future light heavyweight champion of the motherfucking world.
Let's go.
Motherfucking Anthony Lionheart Smith, baby.
Hell yeah.
What season was your favorite of the Ultimate Fighter of all time? And when you were younger, if you had the chance to get on the show, would you have went? Peace out, boys. Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
Hell yeah.
I like this guy.
We need more questions for both those last two.
Ultimate Fighter with Jason Mayhem Miller was aggravating. I tell you what's aggravating me. Lucas! Lower your voice! I mean, I have a loud voice. That carries and it booms. But my God, he takes it to the next level. It's out of control.
He's just up there screaming?
He's just that, his voice is so loud. Anyway, Jason Mayhem Miller. He's just talking. But it carries through the walls, you know. And you got four daughters, bro.
Yeah, it's loud as shit. I've been hearing them this whole time. They got a whole bunch of friends over. I can hear. Yeah, there's a window right here. There's a window right here, and there's fucking kids keep going. And I can hear them screaming.
Really?
I can hear them as they scream.
Screaming and stuff.
Yeah,
See, this is what people don't realize, what we have to put up with that today. Mm-hmm. What we go through to bring this show week after week. Kids screaming. Yeah. Distractions.
They need to stop.
You know, we can just go get real jobs.
You know, I might. I might go apply at Taco Bell.
Please don't.
Oh, it's Callum and his buddy from college. Shut the hell up, boys. I'm on a podcast. It's actually not Lucas. It's Callum and his two college boys, which, by the way, they're here.
Nice.
I came down the other day. No, yesterday morning to get a coffee, 6 a.m. Walking up, so you can hear them snoring. Right? And there's two beds in Callum's room. And I walk into his bedroom. They're both in the same bed in their underpants. Snoring their heads off. I'm like, lads, there's two beds. What are you doing?
They slept in the same bed?
They're in the same bed. They're in the same bed. No, they went out and had a few drinks. You know what I mean? They come back.
That makes it worse when you say
that. Yeah, I know it does. Yeah, that's what I'm saying it on the podcast. Oh, dear. Okay. Yeah, Jason Mayer Miller was a pain in the goddamn ass. What was your favorite season?
Whatever one that, remember Junie Browning? Whatever season Junie Browning was on was a pretty good one. The one that, what season were you on?
3, 9, and 14.
Probably those three, too.
Yeah.
Probably my favorites. I tried to get on the show a couple times. I went to a couple of those like open tryouts or whatever they had. Flew all over the goddamn country trying to get on the show, and I never made it.
No bueno.
No. I was pretty shy back then. Like, I was pretty quiet and kept to myself. So my personality probably wasn't going to fit. Whether my skill set was there or not, my personality wouldn't fit.
I was
I was on probation one time when I went to the last tryout, and I actually had them cut my ankle monitor off my ankle so that I could fly to California to San Diego to do the tryout, come back, and they put the ankle monitor back on. And they were like, have you committed any crimes? Are you under probation? Nope. I lied about it all.
Nope. Me? Yeah. Are you serious?
I had a tan line on my ankle monitor where my ankle monitor was and everything.
Oh, shit. See, look, this is what the sport of mixed martial arts does. You are a rehabilitated, widely respected, world famous fighter and analyst. You know what I mean?
How crazy is it that I tried out for the Ultimate? I have a job for ESPN and the UFC on the broadcasting team, and my personality wasn't good enough to make the Ultimate Fighter when I was younger. That's crazy.
Well, if at first you don't succeed.
Well, I don't have that brash, like, outgoing personality. Like when
you know my name yet?
Well, like when you walk into a room, when I'm in the makeup room at the UFC and we're getting our makeup done, we're changing, and you come in, the volume and the energy and like everything just goes up, and it's like this loud conversation, everyone's having fun. When I walk in, they're like, oh, hey, Anthony. It's like
you skulk about.
That's just your personality, and it just brings everyone else's higher. Mine is, I'm very like level and chill. That comes out like very in the interviews, like they can tell.
And that's why more people like you. You know what I mean? Like, don't invite Bisping, for fuck's sake. He does not shut up. Interrupts Anthony every 2 seconds.
Not even just you.
Walk off.
And not even just you. It's just the energy gets higher from everybody in the room when you're there.
Yeah.
And that sounds like I'm kissing your ass, but that's just how it is. Like, you have a very outgoing TV personality that fits.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. Well, cheers. I'm also a loudmouth, obnoxious bastard. It could be another way of slicing that and interpreting what you said.
See, but I'm meaning it the first way.
Fine line. Teetering on the edge. But you gotta be. All right. Do we got one more?
We do. We have one from Connor Cartwright here.
Speed, how are we going on, me old pal? Nice to see you. Hey. Anyway, I got a question for you. What MMA fighters do you think could do well in boxing? I think Cyril Garn will be one, Sean O'Malley, and I think Tom Aspinall will do very well as well. Anyway, lads, have a good one. Cheers. Hey.
Hell yeah.
Connor Cartwright, there he is.
Good questions today.
We did get some good questions, and actually that's one we can actually speak about properly, because we've been filling a few segments, and we apologize. Let's just be honest. Our minds are on Thanksgiving. I've got the Roomba going now. Callum's going, you know those Roombas, the electronic?
The vacuums?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got one.
It's right outside the door, and it's loud as shit.
Have I told you the shit – Roomba story?
No. Did it clean up the shit and smear it everywhere?
Not in my house, but my neighbor one time comes outside and she's losing her fucking mind. Walks into her house and one of her dogs had had like a really bad case of diarrhea and the Roomba had gone on and just flung it all over the fucking walls everywhere in the house because it just kept going. So then she calls Roomba and says, hey, I don't know what to do. Like, how do I clean this? And they're like, oh, well, we'll just, you know, it got a little dirty. We'll just send it back to us and we'll send you a new one.
Oh my God.
She literally mailed, like went to like FedEx, got a box and put a shit filled Roomba into the box, mailed it to them, and they sent a brand new one back. Wild.
Well, to be fair, I mean, that's what, you know, you design Roombas, they clean up things on the floor.
And they spray
diarrhea on the floor. That's not a Roomba, man. I don't know what's going on either. It's like a pneumatic drill.
Was someone doing?
Is that a Roomba? Rebecca, what's that noise?
What is it?
Come here. But what is that noise? Come here, you gotta hear the story from Anthony. I'll just give you the quick details. But it sounds like there's a fucking...
I'm sorry, I didn't...
No, but with that noise, listen. What is that?
The air conditioning?
Oh, it's the air conditioning.
Oh my God.
Hold on,
that you insisted that we put on, by the way. Hi,
Anthony. Hi, how are you?
Here it is.
Good.
Here it is.
The Roomba. The
it's actually not a Roomba. It's a Shark Matrix.
Oh, we got the
But G-bar. I swear to God, it just started going by itself. So I thought, oh, it must be bored. So I gave it something to do. I didn't touch it, and it just started to go by itself.
Must be bored.
Yeah, I was like, oh, he's bored. Let's let him do
He's going to clean up all the feathers from the dead bird. Anthony had a Roomba. His neighbor had one.
Oh, I've got a bad story about a Roomba. Go on.
Well, I just real quick, because the believers have heard it. His neighbor, well, tell her quickly.
Well, the neighbor, the dog got really sick and had like diarrhea all over the floor. And the Roomba went across it and just spread the shit all over the walls and smeared it all
over the wall. Oh my God.
Because the little things are spinning, so it sprayed it everywhere.
Oh my God, that's bad. Yeah, no, I had a similar story, but it was a solid one. So
do I know about this story?
I don't know if I ever told you.
Oh my God.
Alfie did a poop on the floor, but it wasn't diarrhea. It was solid. So it kind of got all in the mechanism, like and clogged.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And that's why we bought a new Roomba.
That's why you got the new one.
That happened a while ago and I haven't had one for a long time and I bought one and then Michael's not happy that I bought it because he doesn't like them.
Because it's just fucking constantly going around the house and it's very loud.
I do feel like mine go all day long. Like I'll come home, and the Roomba's going. Leave, it's still running.
It's still going.
Yeah,
because it just randomly kind of does its thing. There's no system.
I feel like we might have lost the believers at this point. I'm just throwing it out there. We're going hardcore on the Roombas.
Maybe. Yeah, well, I'm just, will you ask me? You're like, what the hell is that noise?
Yeah,
it wasn't even the Roomba. Don't blame an innocent Roomba. It was the AC that you Roombas said you were, I'm leaving, don't have worry.
Feelings. Monday.
Innocent.
We're going to be back. We got a proper show. We got Tom Aspinall. We got Marlon Chito Vera. She's got the Roomba. We've got Thanksgiving. I got to go. I'm starving. Pets heads have fallen off. We'll be back Monday. Thank you, Harrington. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Anthony. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you, Brian, Harrington. I hope you guys have a wonderful meal. Harrington, enjoy. This is your first Thanksgiving with the baby, huh?
Oh.
Yep. Yeah, the fam is super excited for it. Everybody's coming to one house because holidays are better with a baby.
Incredible. Well, happy Thanksgiving to you and your new family.
Same thing. Yes. Better with a baby. All right. Wholesome. Bye-bye.